Mom was my Monopoly buddy. When I was a boy, Mom and I spent hours playing Monopoly. To this day, I love rainy days, in part because back then, when it rained, we'd spend the day playing board games, from chutes and ladders to the game of life. But I loved Monopoly most of all. I loved that it could take hours to play properly, not the shortened version where you dealt out the cards representing properties, but the right way, the way according to the rules, where you collected properties only after landing on them and buying or trading them. I loved collecting those deeds. I loved being the thimble, the iron, the dog. I loved pass and go and collecting $200. I felt great about amassing money. But most of all, I loved surprising people with what I was capable of doing. When I was a boy, I wasn't often seen. I was looked after, cared for. I was held and comforted, especially after some painful experience. But I wasn't often seen. I was a good boy when inside I wanted to rage. I tried hard all the time when inside I wanted not to care. I was compliant and therefore complicit in not being fully appreciated. When I was a boy and we played Monopoly, everyone would lay out money in front. Piles of currency neatly stacked and sorted. 500s, 100s, 50s, and so on. Not me, though. I'd keep all my money stacked together under the game board. I didn't need to lay it out in front of me to know my worth. I'd keep track in my head of how much I had. And I'd surprise everyone by buying up their properties when they were bankrupt. I'd surprise them with my cleverness and cunning. When my cunning, my skills, my ability to understand and work with money would be revealed, I'd feel seen, not for being good, quiet, compliant, a good boy, but for being me, a good person who is also smart and skillful. What's more, at 7, I came to understand that while people might not see you, might not get you, you could use that fact to survive. The game of life, hi-ho, cheerio, and Monopoly taught me about life. I learned, for example, that you needed money to win, to be safe, to never be hungry. With it, you could buy real estate. You could put little green houses on those properties, and then, over time, generate more money. If you played the game right, you could generate enough to make sure that Mom and Dad didn't fight about having enough food. Dad wouldn't yell at Mom if he took more than 2 Oreos. There were 9 of us in the 2-bedroom apartment on the ground floor of the small Brooklyn building owned by my grandfather. I was born in December 1963, a month after JFK was killed. By then, my oldest siblings, Vito and Mary, were already beginning to cycle in and out of the house. While the same small space was home for all of us, it was rare that we'd all be there at the same time. Dad was a foreman at a printing company, a place at which he had worked since high school, and to which he came back after serving in the army. Mom stayed home with us. Dad was a good man whose broken heart sometimes led him to drink to drunkenness. Mom was a good woman whose broken childhood led to mental illness that further led her to hear and see things that, as often as not, weren't there. Together, they had more kids than they could afford, financially as well as emotionally. Being number 6 of 7, I grew up wondering whether it was I who had tipped the scales, broken the camel's back. I worried I was the mouth that was one too many to feed, the one who caused the whole lot of us to never have enough to feel safe, warm, and happy.